Welcome, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Conversations for Financial Professionals, where we are shaping the next generation of financial advice. I'm your host, Dominique Henderson, and welcome to Season 1's bonus episode. We're doing this a little differently than how we normally do things. This is a very, very fun time for me. I want to use this time to, first of all, thank you for all the listeners that have participated in the Conversations for Financial Professionals podcast in this Season 1 launch. We've done things a little differently starting in February, and I thank you for taking the journey with me. Today, we're going to really have some fun, kind of go through my takeaways. I came up with some one-word takeaways for Season 1, all 10 episodes from every guest interview that we did. And we also have a preview of what's going on in Season 2, which I think is going to be really, really cool. And we're doing this on video, kind of like how I do my live stream. So if you're listening, you definitely need to go to YouTube and watch this so that you can get the full user experience, as they would say. But no, this is going to be really, really fun. So I'm eager to get into this, and I'm eager to hear your feedback. And we're going to have some real fun today. Okay, so I do have some notes because I want to keep to my my little agenda here. But over the next, let's call it 45 minutes, maybe an hour. We'll see how my video editing team does with this. I just threw down the gauntlet. So let's make sure we can do that. Okay. So I think it always helps with context, right? So when we start thinking about this podcast, the evolution of Jumpstart, the DJH Capital Management Enterprise, all these brands that I've started, you know, putting my hands into, getting my fingers a little dirty, if you will. It is all because at the end of the day, Dominique wants to see everybody have access to good financial advice. That's the mission here. I feel that if we can get more good men and women into the industry, more individuals to be giving financial advice, no matter where they fall on the spectrum, people will have their family trees change. And I believe everybody needs or deserves a change of the family tree. Can I get an amen? So what we're going to do, I have broken this out into three areas here. The journey is what it is, right? Hopefully if you're with me at this point, or if you're listening new today, you'll go and figure out a little bit more about Jumpstart. There's almost 3 years of videos on YouTube to kind of get your appetite a little wet. There's a community for you to jump into, which we'll talk about a little bit later. And there are all types of resources to help you along your journey as an aspiring financial professional, because we're trying to make sure that you get the tools that are going to prepare you for success in this industry. Now, Season 1 was, I have themes that I haven't necessarily shared with the broad public, but when I'm putting together these episodes and inviting guests and creating outlines and all that stuff and having the conversations, I'm thinking about a lot of different things, but I am thinking about a theme. And in really, Season 1's theme was all about perspectives, specifically hearing from different perspectives. You notice that in the show lineup, there was not a concentration from just the financial services industry. We wanted to get a broad swath of individuals, and that wasn't on accident. That was by design. I wanted to get multiple perspectives, people that were in the industry, people that were outside of the industry, people that had financial advisors, you know, a lot of different perspectives. Because at the end of the day, I was really tired of financial advisor, that term being used so cavalierly, and the fact that I think it just scares a lot of people. Like, it's very nebulous when you're talking to clients, and I know this from talking to clients because I have my own firm. You know, there's a connotation, there's a mindset about what a financial advisor does. And I would say if you ask 10 different people on the street, you probably get 10 different answers about what a financial advisor does. And I wanted to, you know, more or less coalesce around the real definition of financial advice on this podcast. I don't care what you call yourself. I don't care what people call you. It really matters what you're doing for people. So that's what this podcast is about, is giving you the tools so that you will be better at doing that particular thing that people need. So season one was interesting, right? So we kicked it off with the great Seth Godin. All these people, by the way, were great in their own regard. They have a body of work that deserves recognition, and their reputation in all these instances preceded themselves. And I would say that I was honored by having the conversations. I had a lot of fun with all of these individuals. But Seth was, if I had to sum up one word to take the one word takeaway for this particular episode, it would be sage, right? So we talked about uncovering your superpower and becoming indispensable to your ideal client. And the thing about Seth was literally like every word or every sentence, every response to my question, although it didn't take him a long time to formulate it, it seemed like he had been thinking about the answer for a very long time. And that just lets you know how much wisdom this guy has. I mean, the answers were so just thoughtful and thought-provoking that, I mean, literally, I could just probably go down a rabbit trail on each individual answer that he gave. So sage is by far the word that encapsulates that conversation. It was just so great. It was so many different takeaways, so many different sound bites. Definitely recommend going back and listening to that one if you haven't caught it. So next, Mrs. Cameron Huddleston. She and I talked about using media to boost your personal brand. And Cameron and I actually met when I was trying to boost my personal brand. We talk about that in the podcast. But I would have to sum up this particular conversation with the word compassion. Knowing Cameron's story makes what we talked about more powerful. Her mom recently passed away from Alzheimer's. So she has spent, you know, the better part, I believe the last 5 or 10 years or so, taking care of her mom, understanding her mom's finances, which got her to start thinking about, you know, how the aging process affects us Gen Xers or whatever age group that you're in, you know, through her own personal story. And she wrote a book about it. And, you know, although she's got this, you know, long storied career in journalism, she found herself, let me rephrase that. She's got this long storied career in journalism, specializing in personal finance. You know, people are always looking to her to be given her expert advice or writing these articles. But what you find out in this podcast is that, you know, her own story, her own personal story, having to take care of her own mom is what, you know, really birthed everything that you're seeing right now. So very, very, very captivating conversation. And again, the word has to be compassion. You know, the level of thought that has to go into, you know, taking care of your loved one, as well as sharing that experience with others so that they can avoid some of your mistakes. You know, enough said there. Definitely compassion. Episode 3. Wow. So this was a very interesting one, and I'm smiling because I'm thinking about the conversation. Bob Veras, a legend in financial services. I mean, just about anybody coming into the financial services industry that's been here a little while hears of, you know, a couple of names in the industry. Bob Veras is one of those couple of names that you know of, and very honored to have him spend some time. And, you know, when I thought about the subject matter and the guest for this particular episode, I don't want to give it away quite yet if you don't know. It didn't dawn on me until after I said something in the podcast that Bob may feel a certain way about this particular subject matter, but he was so gracious to accept. And that's why I picked the one word takeaway of considerate. His heart is for this industry to move forward, for there to be more diversity as well as an inclusion, and to level the playing field across all spectrums of our population when it comes to, you know, people like financial advisors not hoarding all the information and all this wealth and or knowledge for getting wealth being concentrated amongst a very small group of people. He is definitely about the spreading of that wealth. And so to talk about creative ways to address the lack of color in financial services was very interesting. In the quote, I vaguely remember saying something like, I introduced the title and I was like, no better individuals to talk about this than an old white man and a black man. And he was like, I don't know that you got the right person for this conversation. So it was so funny. But Bob gave so many tidbits of wisdom because of where he stands in the industry and what he's seen and what he's experienced, and just a very, very good perspective. We actually had some really good ideas that came out of that podcast. So if you are finding yourself rolling up your sleeves, getting some dirt under your fingernails when it comes to the diversity, equity, and inclusion, let's call it mission, then you will definitely want to listen to that episode. Episode 4 for season 1 was all about resourcefulness, and that's the takeaway. Neil Patel is one of those, like, you know, he won't admit to this, but he's got a genius factor going on. He's humble, but he's got a genius factor going on. The amount of knowledge he knows and has in his brain, you know, what's floating between those two ears. I mean, he's just rattling off stuff during the podcast. And I was like, dude, slow down in my mind. I was just like, you're just giving all these tips. But he and his tool, UberSuggest, matter of fact, I used his tool early on in my career to help with SEO. And he's just got so much knowledge, and resourceful is, you know, the best way to kind of describe what we talked about as far as the evolution of marketing tools. But just even in the podcast, he gave a step-by-step rubric for what you can be doing like right now today as a person trying to build your brand or trying to get into digital content and using that space to grab attention. And so I would definitely recommend listening to that. I think, you know, one of my things was I'm always trying to get better when it comes to that particular space, because everything is changing. It's always evolving, and you can't necessarily rest on your laurels when it comes to creating content. And one of the, I guess, lessons learned in that was the evolution of content creation is evolving so fast that some of the things that you may have done, you know, 5 years ago, you don't have to do anymore. One of those was the evolution of AI, right? Artificial intelligence is getting to a point where you can really find a lot of the content that you may want to repurpose or put into your own thought pattern or whatever already out there on the web. And we talked about that. So I think that's really cool, because some of this stuff that, you know, is now curated and being used over and over again, I think that is somewhat muddying the waters for marketing purposes. But to have some of those, you know, let's call it how to create a Roth IRA create a Roth IRA strategy within your retirement portfolio, or how to trade crypto, or any of these type of topics could be first found on the web and then resynthesized to fit your brand, your voice, your audience. And I think a lot of that work has been done for you. So that was the takeaway for me, along with his resourcefulness. Season 1, episode 5. Okay, this was one that was a little bit more popular than what I thought it was going to be. I know I have a large audience of you that want to take the CFP exam or aspiring to be a certified financial planner. And so you're in whatever stage of the 4 E's that you may be in. But I invited my friend Gary Clement on to really kind of just get inside the exam and talk about some things that trip people up and how you can avoid being in that, you know, 40% that don't pass roughly on the first try. And it was a well-received episode. I got a lot of DMs from people, a lot of comments, Gary as well. So I'm going to use this part to parenthetically say, what do you guys want to listen to? If you guys want to listen to, you know, continue to listen to the, let's call it the range of topics, I'll have a lot of say on this. Obviously, it's my podcast. But I'm always open to suggestions. Also, I'll put another parenthetical here. We are almost done. Tomorrow we'll be done recording season two. So we're good until, you know, June. So you got a little while to say, hey, Dom, I've been listening to your podcast. I think it would be really great if you cover this. Or to borrow a phrase from Farnham Street blog, Shane Paris, why don't we double click on this idea of inside the CFP exam? Like, what are some of the, you know, providers that you recommend or blah, 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 blah. Maybe we can get somebody on to talk about that. So, or have Gary back, whatever. The point is I want to hear from you. If you're enjoying the podcast, please let me know. You can leave a review. You can go on iTunes, leave a review. You can give us a thumbs up rating, or I don't think it's a thumbs up rating. It's actually like a star rating. So whatever suits your fancy, we would love 5 stars, but just be honest. Okay. It's all good. Back to episode 5. So, my takeaway was, there's no other real word to use besides studious, I don't believe. Maybe you can say learned, but that's really old school. But studious. I passed the CFP exam on the first try. I studied like my provider told me to. I had a background in finance, but I could only imagine the rigor involved for an instructor preparing someone to pass all parts of this. And Gary knows all parts of it. He doesn't just specialize in one particular area of like fundamentals or tax or something like that, because I had those instructors as I was going on. But he knows how to take you from A to Z, you know, from, you know, what do they call it? Soup to nuts when it comes to preparing for the exam. So a body of knowledge. I mean, his expertise is second to none when it comes to preparing for this. So studious definitely encapsulates what he was able to, just a little smidgen in the time we were able to conversate, what he was able to relay. So very, very good stuff. If you are a candidate for the CFP exam, which happens 3 times a year, you definitely want to probably save this episode and, you know, use it as inspiration as you prepare for that very, very rigorous exam. All right, moving on. We're halfway there. Cool, cool, cool. So video people, sound people, this is a good time to probably interject a little commercial. Just giving away all the goods here. That's what's so fun about going live. You know, you can just be yourself here. Or at least being on video. I was really strongly thinking about recording this without showing my face. And I went back to the words of my wife that says, and this is in regards to DGH Capital Management. This is just an outtake. We'll probably use this somewhere else, by the way. Okay. Or we can leave it in the content. Who knows? Maybe you're on a road trip and you're driving and you've got an hour to kill and you're just like, Dominique, you're rambling right now, but I love you. So it's all good. I was about to record this, just audio, no face. And then the words of my very, very smart, intelligent, married up, I'll kick my coverage, all those little funny sayings. My wife, my bride, she said, Dominique, you are trying to get people to trust you with their finances and you're not showing your face. And that's on the DGH Capital Management side. And I was like, baby, you're right. So that's why I hired a coach and I got used to the video thing. But I was like, it'd be so much funner just to record this podcast video. So again, if you're listening, make sure you get the video. I'm going to take a drink right now. Station break. Hey, what's up? Are you enjoying this bonus episode? Hey, before you finish listening to this episode, you need to do a couple things. The first thing you need to do is join the free Facebook group. It's free. Why wouldn't you join it? It's full of resources. You got the ability to build your network. I'm always hopping in there with my beautiful mug, saying hello, telling you what's going on, and giving you some extra things to think about. The second thing you need to do is you need to think about joining the Jumpstart Accelerator group. How can you accelerate your path? How can you jumpstart your financial services career, moving you in the right direction, removing the friction, the frustration, the BS that the industry shows you and tries to make you into a salesperson? if you want the real from a 20-year veteran, and I'm giving you mentorship, and I'm giving you access to trainings, and I'm also giving you an invitation to join us in the professional development program, it is well worth your time and money investment. Would love to see you there, the Jumpstart Accelerator Group. All right, that's enough. Let's get back to the episode. Halfway through, let's get into it. Dr. Brad Klontz on how to use TikTok to market your financial services practice. Very fun episode. Brad and I have come acquainted, actually, on the very first iteration of my podcast. I had him on, and we talked about money and psychology because his specialty is behavioral finance and money and psychology. But over, let's call it the last 18 months or so, if you're on social media, on TikTok or Instagram or any of that kind of stuff, you've noticed, at least I've noticed his profile go from here to here, just going up and up and up. And he has really, really staked a claim and gotten a lot of attention on TikTok. And so I wanted to talk to him and pick his brain on some strategies. And so that's exactly what we did. So there's no other word. I mean, I could use creative, but it's so overused. I want to say innovative because innovative has some connotations that I think are not fully captured in just the word creativity. Just because when you think about the platform that he's on, TikTok, it's not like somebody started creating content in this particular case. It's not like he went onto an already established platform and started doing stuff that was really creative. That's creative. That's great. Like new content, blah, blah, blah. But to go on to a relatively new frontier and start creating content that is mostly composed of, and here's the reason, I'll be totally honest, this is the reason why I went on there at first, is because I was like, well, it's only like 12 and 14 or 15 year olds on TikTok back when he started doing this. And that was the case. That was true. But he was out there anyway. So I'm like, you get a lot of cool points with me for being a trailblazer when it comes to that. And innovative is definitely the takeaway from what he's done, how he's been able to establish a presence, how he's leveraged that. He now has a book out that came from that whole evolution that we talked about. So he was definitely trying something new, which I think is the heart of the word innovative. Season 1, episode 7, Anna Lamone. Oh my gosh. So I started doing some content for FPA, the publication that Anna is editor-in-chief over. And I was like, we got to get you on the podcast. And I think one of the things that was so refreshing is just how thoughtful she is, right? That's my takeaway. The one word takeaway for episode 7, season 1 with Anna was thoughtful. When you're talking about a subject like understanding the importance of financial planning, it's interesting the different angles you can look at this from, right? You can look at it from the angle of the consumer financial services or the provider of financial services. And although Anna is not a provider, she works with providers. And the fact that she has a financial planner, I wanted her perspective. I thought that the range of her answers was going to be a little bit more in depth than somebody that was just either or. Not to say that I couldn't have found other people, but to be a curator, essentially, of all the different financial content that comes through a large professional organization like the Financial Planning Association, I thought was really, really cool. So thoughtful definitely encapsulates what we talked about. And just some of the things that she is spearheading with not even having a finance background. I think this is really key. So I want to parenthetically say this to the career changer out there listening. Don't think that your previous experience is necessarily or even a detriment. I think it is really, really good and beneficial for the potential consumer financial services with your particular brand of financial advice to have a background coming from a different industry. You know, sometimes being trained in financial services and having a 20-year career like me, yes, it gives you a lot of knowledge, but you start to, I mean, if I'm just being really self-aware, you start to be like, you know, I'm a hammer and everything looks like a nail, right? You have to force yourself to continually think about different ways to consider different strategies or options and all this other kind of stuff. So a perfect example of this is like cryptocurrency. This is something at the time of this recording is one of those things as I believe as a financial professional, if you don't know about it, you're doing your clients a disservice. Whether you're investing their hard-earned retirement dollars or excess cash flow there is something totally different. Those are two different arguments. But at first, you need to know about it so you can make a decision about how much, if any, to invest. And I think you're doing your clients a disservice if you don't do that. And I remember very distinctly this question about cryptocurrency and blockchain and all this other stuff coming up a few years back. And I was just taking a hard look at me and saying, Dominique, you don't know enough about this in order to intelligently speak about it. And that was my goal, was to be able to know enough to intelligently speak about it in order to make a decision when those questions came up. And that's the type of perspective that I think career changers or people outside of the industry, you know, that's a strong suit for you because you're already coming from a different background. So you're thinking about things differently. And that's essentially what I found in Anna too, is, you know, having her marketing background and basically non-financial services background, then to be, you know, put in this editor-in-chief role, and then to be interacting with financial professionals, she brings a very, very fresh perspective and very thoughtful when it comes to that. Episode 8, season 1, Mr. Rob Burtman. So Rob Burtman is a colleague of Travis Hornsby, and this whole circle of friends here, the super friends of, I would call them student loans. They are, you know, Student Loan Planner does a lot of great work, and I'm going to parenthetically kind of promo them. If you have a student loan that is giving you fits, or you need a plan to figure out how you can pay back sooner, or just the advantages of, you know, different strategies when it comes to paying it back altogether, definitely, definitely look them up, Student Loan Planner. Tell them Dom sent you. But I have several friends over there, Megan Landris, Lauren Williams, Rob Burtman now, Travis Hornsby. A funny story about Travis. Hopefully he doesn't mind me telling you this. So Travis and I, along with another industry friend, were at a conference about 3 years ago in St. Louis. I think it was 3 years ago. Maybe it was even 4 years ago. Somewhere between. It was an XYPN conference that we had in St. Louis. So just go look it up. It was either in 2018 or 2019. But the point is we were having some adult beverages, and we were just kind of talking around Travis and his idea around Student Loan Planner and why he formed it and blah, 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 blah. And not myself, but somebody else was like, man, you know, why don't you just start a firm? Like CFA, you know, you got all this stuff. Just start a firm. Like, why are you doing this? Why are you wasting your time on Student Loan Planner? Like, it's not going to make any money. I'm paraphrasing, but that's what the other person said. Lo and behold, whoa, were they wrong. Travis, kudos to you, my friend, for not listening to the naysayers and actually going forth with your dream and developing a specialty and a really good business from just counseling on student loans, right? And so Rob was able to come in this episode and really give us the nitty-gritty about the crisis. And I think not only some nitty-gritty about the crisis, but if I'm to sum up that episode in one word, and I think you have to be this way, but vigilant. Like, his approach to tackling this and handling this problem and not for it to be this looming thing that people don't want to deal with, that's what I hear a lot about student loans, is people don't want to deal with them. They just want to kind of push them over to the side and not think about them. I have clients that have felt this way before, but vigilance is what I would say Student Loan Planner, specifically Rob in this episode, was empowering people to feel like they can tackle this problem, that it may be six figures, but we can still tackle it. And you can still live a life. That's the key takeaway here. You don't have to just be on beans and rice. like some financial educators tell you, naming no names, Mr. Ramsey. hopefully my podcast gets big enough for Dave Ramsey to even know that I mentioned his name. But yeah, there's other ways besides beans and rice to get rid of your student loan, and Student Loan Planner does a great job of developing those strategies for you. Episode 9, Miss Jacqueline Shattuck. So Jacqueline is a friend, an industry friend, known for, at least in my eyes, known for her stellar, second to none, personal branding on Instagram in particular. So Jacqueline Plans on Instagram, you need to check her out. She has a great way of showing you her not only financial plannery side, if you will, but also the personal side, which I think just makes her more human, right? One of the things that I think a lot of clients don't like about our industry is this button-up approach of, you know, really austere and just, you know, unapproachable for the most part. You think about this pristine image of a financial advisor that has everything right, and you're coming to them with your personal financial problems, feeling like, you know, redheaded stepchild, like you should be doing better, and they're finna, you know, slap you on the wrist. But when a financial planner seems genuine and authentic, and they're showing you their personal side, and they're sharing different things about their life, wins as well as losses, that makes the experience for the consumer a lot easier. One word to kind of like encapsulate what we talked about was inspiration. She's very inspirational, you know, even to her mentees that she talks about, but just her vibe, her approach to this thing called financial planning is a breath of fresh air. And I'll just say this, and I'm not trying to get any brownie points, but I think that women bring such a unique perspective to the financial advice industry, and we need to see more women inside the industry. And it's not just because they have, they are gifted and talented, no doubt. There are things that women, I think, do well or better than men, or predisposed to having certain behaviors that lend itself to being more efficient and more effective in this profession, especially the way we're going, right? So just a small history lesson. We've moved from, you know, broker that basically transacts on your behalf to get you securities or insurance policies or whatever type of product you need, which is a lot, it's very information heavy. Like, I need to know the difference between this product and this product and that product and that product, blah, 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 right? Men with our logic brains, you know, we're kind of predisposed to that, and we can show you all the information on all the, you know, trinkets and the, you know, all the different tools and bells and whistles of the illustration and the Monte Carlo analysis. Now fast forward to where we are now, and the behavioral finance component, the behavioral economics, the mindset, the psychology around money component is a large part of the relationship if you're doing it right, let's just be honest. And women are better at that, right? They're just more in tune with the nurture part of a relationship. So that being said, I'll hop down off my hoppy horse and just say that we need more women. We need all types of perspectives, right? But I would definitely say we are lacking on that side of the equation in this industry, and it's needed. Clients ask for it all the time. They need it. They want a relationship with a trusted advisor. And it's hard to trust a person that you don't feel is authentic. One other tidbit with the episode with Jacqueline, she's got a new book out. I definitely recommend that. We talked about that. The book is called Money Planning and Positivity, A Guide to a Better Financial Life. So she used that, she's used her story, her personal story, to really pour into a lot of anecdotes and strategies for someone wanting to know more about personal finance. And last but not least, personal favorite, personal hero, and just all around great guy that I really didn't get a chance to know a little bit more about until I reached out for this podcast interview. And this goes to show that you don't get what you don't ask for a lot of times. And sometimes you don't have because you don't ask. And I'll just say, I would have never thought that I have, you know, three New York Times bestsellers on season one of my podcast. But at the end of the day, if I hadn't asked, I would have never done that. And Andy Andrews, for episode 10, The Power of Your Perspective. This is a subject that I can really literally go on and on about. So I'm going to dumb it down by saying, of course, my one word takeaway was perspective. I've followed Andy Andrews for years. My family and I have read his books together. I have a ton of his books in my library. And what I want to say about what this conversation brings to the financial advice industry is the following. Sometimes as financial planners, I know specifically CFPs, we're trained to diagnose a problem and to find a solution out of our toolkit. But that's not real life, right? You're going to test that way to pass the exam. You're going to be trained that way in the education. You may even start getting experience that way, depending on who you work under. But the reality is, none of that's ever going to prepare you for the first time a client calls you and says they've had a death in the family, or that their child is really ill, or that they're getting a divorce, or any other, let's call it, life-changing, catastrophic circumstance happens. And I think that's the real power in perspective, and what I gathered from this conversation is looking at a situation from multiple angles and not just trying to find the little, you know, end puzzle piece that goes to fit this puzzle. It may very well be that you're creating something very new. You're starting from scratch on something. And that's not to say you won't use the body of knowledge or the experience that you have to get you to that point. I'm saying that to say sometimes it's good to let a little air out the tire and take a breather and look at something from a different angle than what has been preached to you through any particular certification program that you've gone through. And there's the black and white on the pages. Get to know that person. Ask questions. Ask better questions. Get really, really good at asking questions. I've said this a lot of times, and it's not necessarily a bragging or anything, but I think the power in my planning experience in my evolution of a planner has not really been the degrees or the certifications that I have. It's really been getting better at asking questions and being genuinely interested in someone. So that's kind of what my takeaway is on that particular deal. So 10 episodes, 10 perspectives, go check them all out. They're all great. Had a lot of fun with all of them, as you can see if you watch any of the video snippets. So what I want to do now, I want to talk really quickly about season two. And just kind of run through the roster of stuff. And so this shouldn't take as long. Hey there, this episode is brought to you by me. Just playing. Hey, if you're listening to this episode and you haven't subscribed to the podcast, what are you waiting for? If you've listened this far in with all my faux pas, you must love me. Subscribe. Please leave a review. It would help the podcast so much, and I would love you for it. So let's get back to the episode. What is this theme for season two? Well, the theme for season two, just in context, season one was, you know, hearing from different perspectives. But after you hear from perspectives, what do you need to do? Well, you can think about it a little bit, but really the thing is about action. It's about action, right? So season two, the theme is going to be action steps, right? So I wanted to get people on here and not only get their perspective, but I wanted to ask, how do you do the thing? What are the tangible steps that now I can start to do with this particular conversation? And there's always a call to action, I believe, after every podcast episode that I've recorded to do something. But the particular theme that I want to be working with, just so you know, in season two is action steps. So these are our season two guests. We got Phil Jones, the great Phil Jones, talking about marketing tools. You're going to love his accent. I was enthralled the whole conversation just listening to him talk. We have a career changer story by Deanda Wilson, or featuring Deanda Wilson. And this is just I think it's a beautiful story. It involves a past podcast guest because Deanda knows Gary Clement, and that's going to be a very interesting story for you to hear. We have Achieving Your Dreams with Terry Igioma, another beautiful story. Terry is a personal friend and has just done so many great things in her mission, her own personal mission, to see people create generational wealth. So you're going to love that. We got The Psychology of Money Decisions with Dr. Annie and Prima Martin. I met Dr. Annie on Clubhouse, of all places. I don't know. I can't really describe this episode. I think it's, you're gonna really feel it and vibe it. But her approach to the whole financial advice, counseling, and therapy equation is very unique, and you're gonna love it. Marketing funnels 101. What is a marketing funnel? How do you use one? How do I build one? What are the best tools for creating one? Mr. Miles Beckler stops in and gives us some of his great wisdom. When I first started everything, I went on Miles Beckler's blog and created my own marketing funnel from scratch using his step-by-step instructions. He has so much value. We talk about it in the podcast. Then we get into the SEC marketing rule. When we air this, the marketing rule will probably be either in effect or about to be in effect. And so Chris Stanley, I would say one of the greatest bodies of knowledge when it comes to compliance rules. He's got a very, very extensive past with really big firms on interpreting rules and doing compliance. And so he wrote a guest article on the Kitsis blog. And when I saw it, I was like, dude, I got to have you on. So we talk about that. Then we talk about developing a marketing plan. Janelle O'Ryan was actually, this is an interesting story, won't give away too much, but we met through a referral for some services I needed. And Janelle and I talk about what you need to really start a real marketing plan, right? Not just tools, but strategy. Like, why are you doing what you're doing and what brand are you trying to build? That's what we get into on that one. Then we talk about changing the landscape, or rather the changing landscape inside financial services. And thanks to Anna Lamone, I was able to get both Patrick Mahoney and Skip Swice. So we got CEO and president of the FPA to come on and talk about where financial services is basically headed. Follow-up treat to that, I have Nancy Langdon Jones, so sweet, all 82 years of her and all her wisdom. 9 editions and counting of So You Want to Be a Financial Planner, her book, which I highly recommend. If you are trying to get into this industry, specifically if you're going down the financial planner route, whether you're going to do CFP or not, which I highly recommend, by the way, too, you got to go get a book. Go to our website, nancysbooks.com, and make sure you purchase that book. It is a great, great, great tool and resource for anybody coming into the industry. And then last but not least, bringing up the rear, Anna Lee Kruger. We talk about the ABCs of elder care. And what I would say about this, you'd be like, Dom, what the heck was that all about? What's that episode about? Well, as a financial planner, you may think that everything stops at the estate plan. After you're done, you know, that's one of the last things, if I'm being honest, in my practice, that's one of the last things that clients work on because it's so difficult. It involves a lot of different moving parts, blah, 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 blah. And you may think you're done. Check the box. I'm done. Estate plan done. But no, there's a process of aging that happens with your clients and with your clients' parents that is very, very crucial and could just blow up your financial plan that you created. And I think this is a much needed topic inside of our industry to delve into. So Anna Lee Kruger and I delve into that one. So lots of great stuff in store. Still want to hear from you. What do you want to hear for season 3? Let me know. What is going on with Jumpstart as we kind of sign off here? Well, I think one of the best things for you to do, no matter where you stand inside of let's say your position is, I'm a career changer, Dom, or I'm an aspiring financial professional. Maybe I just got out of school and I'm, you know, exploring all these paths. And I'm an outsider for the most part, looking in to what you're doing and what the industry is doing and where it's going. Well, I want you to get into the free community that we have on Facebook, the Jumpstart Community for Financial Professionals. Make sure you go there. You can find us everywhere. If you want, you can send me a little DM. The preferred route, though, is that you send an email to hello@jumpstartcoachinglab.com, and we'll get you hooked up with whatever you need to know about what we're doing over here in this community. I like to call it the first community for aspiring financial professionals. not only the first community, but the first international community. We got people everywhere, all over the globe, that are interested in this profession, and I'm very, very happy about that. If you decide you want to upgrade from that, because you're like, this thing is kind of cooking, this is what, can I have some more, please? The best thing for you to do is to join the Jumpstart Accelerator Group. So what I've done is I have taken, you know, some of my trainings that I believe are going to help you the most to jumpstart you, to accelerate your path as you begin to learn more about this industry and get involved and start actually giving people the help that they need and fulfilling your purpose mainly. The Jumpstart Accelerator Group is mentorship. You get to have some time with a person within the community that's gone through my program that is already doing what you're trying to do. And I think that is so key for you to be paired up with somebody to help you walk the path, give you the accountability, give you some perspective on what you're getting yourself into and what to look out for. And then you get, at this point in time, you get an invitation to join the professional development program that I have. Then we do this year round. So you just need to make sure you get on the waiting list if we're closed for this particular time. We're at the time that I'm recording this, we're actually launching the spring cohort as we speak. By the time you hear this, it will be too late, but you can definitely join the waiting list. And when we launch next, you'll be the first to know. That's what's going on. This is one of those things where we got an ongoing mission. We feel like that it's a great mission and we're happy about it. So thanks for listening. Thanks for all you do for moving this podcast forward. Would love to have you in the community if you are an aspiring financial professional. And until next time, we'll see you later. Bye-bye. Episode's over, and I just gave you my 10 takeaways. Would you mind sharing with me your one takeaway? Text me at 214-544-9226. I would love to hear it. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast and leave me a review. We would love to see you in the Jumpstart community. Take care. Bye-bye.